fighting for America.
This is illegal. It's got to stop. And it stops today.
Mexico is very culpable in this.
They need to take all these children and put them right down the Mexico border.
It's not about race. It's about resources.
Fighting for Idaho.
The Bureau of Land Management agreed with a Nevada sheriff that rancher Clive and Bundy must be held accountable for his role in an April standoff.
And it's getting ridiculous.
Fighting for you.
I just took exception to your statement about soccer being a socialistic sport. Have you heard of the Olympics?
She's absolutely right.
That's enough out of you. Please cut his mic.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Don't forget, next week we'll be at the Buckaroo Breakfast. I think it's our third or fourth or 27th annual Buckaroo Breakfast at the Snake River Stampede. Always good to be at the Stampede. In fact, as many of you know, my parents come in every year. They don't vacation in Tijuana. They don't go to the Oregon coast. They come in to go to the Snake River Stampede. So we'll be seeing Ma and Pa Miller again, and really looking forward to catching up with a lot of great friends at the Stampede. Joining us now is Phil Kirpin from AmericanCommitment.org. Phil, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO.
Hey, my pleasure, anytime.
So we take a look at the growing IRS scandal, and we take a look at what does this mean for the state that the state of the confidence that the voters have in America, and where do you think we are here?
Oh, it's going from bad to worse. I think this whole scandal, remember, started with a confession and an apology. And it's easy to lose sight of that, because here we are more than a year later, and all the wagons have been circled, and the stone walls have been built, whatever metaphor you want to use. And the central figure in all this, of course, is pleading the fifth. We've got this new IRS commissioner now claiming that, you know, all the incriminating emails were just accidentally destroyed. Whoops, sorry about that. And the American people are no closer to figuring out exactly what happened than we were when that confession took place. And, of course, there have been no prosecutions, and there's no special investigator at this time. And so I think people are increasingly frustrated that, the president, who said, you have a right to be angry and I'm angry and people are going to be held responsible, has instead sort of caught his breath, got his media troops in line, and no one's going to be held accountable at all for this.
How big an issue is it when the press doesn't drive a story? I mean, we should always obey the law and follow the law, and the administration should, but how big a factor is it that the media is kind of sitting on their hands on this story?
Oh, I think it's enormous. Look, I don't think there's any question, and even some members of the liberal press have said this themselves, that if this were a Republican administration that had an IRS that targeted enemies of the administration systematically and then stonewalled destroyed evidence and so forth, it would be front page banner headlines every single day. There would be deafening calls for impeachment and so forth. But because it's an administration with whom, so many in the media are sympathetic and they want to see succeed because the administration's goals are largely their goals, they downplay any news that's damaging to the administration or to agencies like the IRS. And so we get a situation where, they begrudgingly cover the story when they have to, but they bury it. They lead with Republicans accuse and cover it as a political story instead of covering the actual wrongdoing. And, they help them get away with it instead of holding them accountable. There are a lot of reasons that I'd like to see a Republican administration, because I agree with Republicans on so many more policy issues than Democrats. But far and away, the most important reason that I'd like to see a Republican administration is because the media actually do their jobs in a Republican administration. And, they were vicious in their attacks on President Bush, but I think that's appropriate. The administration in this country, whoever it is, has so much power that they really should be on the receiving end of a very hostile media. I think that's an important check and balance, kind of in addition to the ones built into our political structure itself. And when the media does not do that, the country suffers for it.
Well, let's expand on that a little, because, as you said, President Bush, his economy grew at 3%. That was horrible. Fuel prices went up. That was horrible. There was more focus on Iraq and Afghanistan, which, let's face it, we need that critical coverage regardless of who's in the White House.
Yeah, you look, more than three-quarters of U.S. casualties in Afghanistan were under President Obama, but the whole tenor of the media coverage changed dramatically. And so I think you're right. I mean, we see this across every single issue. It's not just with the IRS scandal, but you know, you have right now an administration and media that see themselves as teammates for the most part and want to help each other. And that's very unhealthy for the country.
Well, you know, and let's face it, the media had a loving relationship with the Clintons, and I've said this many times here, Phil at 580KIDO, and I'm sure others. It seems like that coverage, the Clinton coverage, was, you know, objective compared to what we have today, and they were in bed with the Clintons.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's gotten considerably worse, and it continues to get worse. And you know, the only remedy to that, I think, is to build our own media institutions, and I think that you're seeing that happen now. I think you know, one of the reasons that they've tried so many times over the years to regulate conservative talk radio out of existence is because people like you are a very effective way of getting information out around the mainstream media. We've now got blogs, we've got all sorts of new media mechanisms as well, and of course, you know, Fox News is on the cable dial, which wasn't, you know, which is a relatively new phenomenon. They're only 20 years or so. And so I think that they no longer, you know, I think while they've gotten much more corrupt than they were in the past, their role is much smaller than it was in the past because there are alternative ways that people can get information. And, you know, when people post, you know, primary documents and video and, you know, exchanges with these IRS guys, for instance, or Lois Lerner pleading the fifth, this kind of thing, these videos can go get millions and millions of views on YouTube and Facebook and so forth. And so it is possible to reach out. But one of the challenges is these sort of apolitical people, the people who aren't already amenable to those sorts of messages, they kind of discount things that don't have that stamp of approval from the mainstream media. If they're not seeing it on the nightly news, if they haven't seen it in a newspaper, and I think that that's where on the margin the media really is able to put a big thumb on the scale for the administration with those sort of apolitical people who don't even see some of these stories because the media chooses to ignore them.
How scared are you at AmericanCommitment.org that we have a generation, the millennials, that have checked out, they voted for President Obama, it's been a disaster for them economically, and yet they're more attuned to the iPods, to the Pandora, to the sports radio than whether it's talk radio, whether it's NPR, whether it's being informed. They said, you know, it's depressing. I don't want to be depressed on my way to work. I'm just going to check out.
Well, look, I think a lot of that is going on, and you know, I think it's going to adapt the way that these, you know, the way these policy and political debates take place is going to adapt to that. But you know, the positive of that, the upside of that change, is you've got a whole generation of people that are used to these customized, personalized experiences where they get exactly the music they want, they see exactly the things they want, they watch the TV shows and movies that they want when they request. They don't channel surf and just take whatever happens to be on. And I think that one of the consequences of that, though most of them don't realize it yet, is that these big government one-size-fits-all policies from Washington really don't fit into that type of life or that type of mindset. Because they're not customized, they're not individualized, they don't use new technology, they don't empower people to make their own decisions and choices. And so I think that while younger people, being largely apolitical and sort of just culturally supportive of the Democrats, and I think that's why they supported Obama and so forth, that certainly presents a challenge, but I also think it presents an opportunity because if we can explain the terrible, outdated nature of so many of these big government programs and their failure to allow people, you know, to individualize and customize and make their own choices and so forth, then, you know, a generation of people who grew up kind of calling all the shots in their own lives is not going to be amenable to big government programs. And so I do think there's a big opportunity there. And there's some groups that are trying to sort of address that. There's one called Generation Opportunity that I've seen put out some good stuff. And so there are people working to do this, but I think that while it's a danger, it is also an opportunity. We need to look at it that way.
Phil Kirpin with us, AmericanCommitment.org. How surprised were you at the reaction and the performance by the IRS commissioner either last week or the week before?
Well, I think it was disappointing. I mean, this guy came into Congress and told the story that only 12% of Americans believe, okay? 12% of Americans believe that Lois Lerner's emails were accidentally destroyed. 76% believe they were deliberately destroyed, that evidence was destroyed, you know, to avoid incrimination. And then, but you've got media that gave full credit to this story that it was all an accident and whoops and, you know, nobody did anything wrong. And that, I think, is very disconnected just because, you know, this goes back to what we were just talking about. You know, people these days are so technologically sophisticated, they know that a computer crash doesn't destroy email. They know that's sort of a ridiculous claim. Emails are stored on servers. They're constant backups. In a large organization like the IRS, the idea that emails would be lost in a situation like that, it really strains credibility, which is why so few people believe it. Then on top of that, we've got this timeline that's really damning for the IRS. The first letter from the Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp goes to the IRS inquiring about targeting of conservative donors on June 3rd, 2011. It asks specifically for all records regarding audits of nonprofit groups, regarding targeting of donors, and says the records include emails. 10 days later, Lois Lerner says, whoops, my hard drive crashed, everything on it is lost. The IRS did not go to the backup tapes. They did not try to recover email from the backup tapes, which were subsequently destroyed. The only thing they tried to do is they sent her computer to the Criminal Investigations Unit to confirm that nothing could be recovered from it by the Criminal Investigations Unit. And you had John Koskinen saying, well, this is proof that, you know, that this was an accident or else she wouldn't have sent it to them. I think it kind of proves the opposite. I mean, to me, if you're not even looking at the backup tapes, which you have, and recovering from the backup tapes, then the only conclusion I think you can draw is that she sent it to the Criminal Investigations Unit to make sure that they'd never be able to recover it in the case of a criminal investigation. Otherwise, why would they even be involved at all? And so I think that the circumstances surrounding this are extraordinarily suspicious. You know, the vast majority of the American public agrees, but the media coverage was largely, you know, in line with the 12% of Americans who actually believe this cover story. And Koskinen is actually going to be recalled by ICE's committee because he said something that has now been contradicted by Lois Lerner's own lawyer. Koskinen said before that committee that no official records were destroyed because IRS policy was to print out every single email that involved an agency decision, and those constitute the official records which were kept. And Lois Lerner surely would have printed out every email of any significance on any IRS decision. Lois Lerner's lawyer has now said she printed nothing. She was not responsible for maintaining records. That was the responsibility of the agency. And so Koskinen is now going to be called back to explain why he said that, why he thought that, and, you know, I think to admit that the official records were destroyed in violation of the Federal Records Act. So it's going to be interesting to watch, and he said he will return. And so I don't know if that's been scheduled yet, but that should happen pretty soon.
Phil Kirpin with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Phil, can you hang on for a minute?
Sure.
All right, more coming up from AmericanCommitment.org. We'll talk more about Lois Lerner, talk about the IRS and what it means to you, and whether or not the administration, the bureaucrats, will be held accountable. Let's get you to work safely and on time. You're
back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Okay, Millie, in the morning, coming up, Washington starts their pot legalization. A gay veteran wants to be buried with her partner, and Rick Perry says no to a presidential handshake, plus the Eagle Roundabout, all that before 9 a.m. here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by Phil Kirpin, AmericanCommitment.org. You have anything against roundabouts, Phil?
You know, not particularly. I am in a big fight with a neighbor who's trying to put a speed hump in front of my house right now, so that's my major traffic issue at the moment.
Well, all politics are local, I guess.
Yeah, that's like the most hyper-local. Actually, that's probably like taking more of my mind share right now than some of these national issues. My wife is like adamantly against it. I actually have to go to an advisory neighborhood commission Monday night, so this is going to be like a very contentious thing, so we'll see how that goes.
Probably rivaling what we've seen in Congress with the IRS. Any hope that anybody will be held accountable for this? Hard to believe that that you know there isn't an independent prosecutor. There isn't anything going on here.
Well, I actually think that there's a good chance that we will soon see a special prosecutor, not because the White House or the Justice Department will actually come to their senses and do the right thing, but because I think that a judge will appoint one, and there are actually two judicial proceedings this week in which that could happen. There's a motion from True the Vote in a federal court, and there's also a long-running lawsuit by a Jewish group called Z Street, which is a pro-Israel group that was denied its status, that was targeted, and so forth. And they've had the IRS under a litigation hold on documents going all the way back to 2010. And so it pretty clearly the destruction of these emails violated a, you know, a court order not to destroy records in that case. And so I think that there's a pretty good chance that we may see a judge appoint a special prosecutor, you know, sometime in the next week or two.
Well, we have a special prosecutor that actually does their job, or do you think they'll just go through the motions? I mean, would Eric Holder appoint the person, or would it be the judge?
It would be the judge if it's a judicial appointment. Eric Holder could appoint one any time and would do so if the president told him to, and they should have done that a long time ago. But Eric Holder is more interested in whitewashing this and slow-walking it than actually, you know, achieving justice, which is why his internal investigation is being headed by a major Obama donor, which he claims is somehow not a conflict of interest. And, of course, you know, that's resulted in no charges so far and no action so far. And so I don't have any great hopes that we're going to get anything worthwhile out of the Justice Department. I'm doubtful that the Obama administration is going to appoint a real special prosecutor. But I think that if a judge appoints someone who's honest, we're going to see charges, because I think there's pretty clearly been criminal wrongdoing here. And so let me put it this way. I have much higher hopes that we'll actually see justice than I did a week or two ago, just based on the recent court developments. I think we may actually see a court-appointed special prosecutor. That'll be a real one.
Well, that what gets me, though, is remember what will happen every time we've had a special prosecutor. It just doesn't seem to work out. We have the White House, at least during the Clinton years, vilify anybody that was trying to do their job.
Yeah, I think the big wild card in this is, you know, with a prosecutor who's actually, you know, out there charging people and so forth, will Lois Lerner take a deal and tell us what actually happened in exchange for a lighter sentence, or, you know, maybe even letting her off the hook, depending on how good her testimony is? And that, I think, would really break this whole thing open, because given, you know, all the destruction of records and the fact that she's taken the Fifth, right now the investigation sort of leads to her, and we don't really know how much higher it goes because she's not talking and her documents have been destroyed. But I think that if she actually fears going to jail for a long time, it's very possible that she'll tell us what happened, and that would be the big break. And so I think, you know, if that happened, there's no way that it could sort of be downplayed or blocked by the administration, because we'd have her testimony. And so that, I think, is the key question, whether there's anything that could happen, anything that could put, you know, enough fear into her where she would sort of stop climbing up and tell us what happened.
We go to the phones, Gene and Cuna, for Phil Kirpin with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Hello, Gene.
Good morning, my friend. I've just been kind of sitting in the backdrop, haven't talked to you for a couple of days. I thought, well, maybe it's time I spoke up a little bit again.
Sure.
You know, Lois Lerner, she was one smart cookie. And before she retired, or got retired, one of the two, those emails that just magically disappeared on her hard drive, they either went to a zip drive that could hold gigabytes of information, just, or terabytes even, if you will, and, or she had someone download everything to a laptop, and that laptop, you know, got itself put in a safe somewhere. It's in a nice, safe place. And I let me share just one quick thing with you. I wrote a book some time ago, not a big book, just a pamphlet on small engine repair and how to keep your lawnmowers and chainsaws running. Well, I did something to my computer, and I thought, oh, man, it's gone. I'm never going to find it. I thought I had destroyed the document. Took the computer just down to Boise to a computer repair shop and told them what I'd done. They went in on that hard drive, and it took them 10 minutes, and they found the exact document that I needed. It was still there. It just looked like it was gone, but it was burned onto the hard drive. And once those residual images are still there, they can pull up all kinds of things off that hard drive. So for someone to say that, you know, these things magically disappeared or was an accident, well, yeah, accident, yeah, I can go with that. But on something like this, this big, that was accidentally on purpose. And these things can be retrieved unless somebody has actually pulled the hard drive and buried it somewhere. So she, Lois Lerner, has either got something for a rainy day. If they say, well, look, lady, you're going to be going to jail unless you tell us what's up. And she's going to say, well, look, I've got all kinds of emails from crooked politicians and whatnot. You either leave me alone or this stuff's going to go public. So, well, you know, she's got a chip in the big game, and she's not stupid by any means. And well, none
right.
of these politicians are.
Well, let's hear let's hear what Phil Kirpin has to say on that. What do you say, Phil, to Gene's remarks?
Yeah, I think Gene's got it exactly right. You know, the idea that this was an accident, nobody believes. And, you know, I think, you know, almost everybody's got a story like that where either they had a crash or somebody they know does and it was able to be recovered, you know, fairly easily. And that's the typical experience. And so
I
would agree that she's probably.
Go ahead, Phil.
Well, thank you, Gene. And I agree she's probably got a backup of it somewhere for the reason Gene said, that if she needs it, if there's actually going to be a criminal charge, it'll magically appear, and you know, she'll use it to make a deal. I think that's likely.
Phil, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Phil Kirpin there, AmericanCommitment.org. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
You have right now an administration and media that see themselves as teammates for the most part.
It contributes to the profound distrust that the American people have in government.
He's going to continue to violate the law and erode the constitutional framework that guarantees our liberties.
Let's get it started.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And getting you started this morning at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You know, I don't know if we can do enough on the border situation. There are two views of the border. One of them coming from our own Congressman Labrador, and he said this on Meet the Press, and then you have Britt Hume responding to it. Let's take a listen here at 580 KIDO.
I'm joined by Republican Congressman Raul Labrador of Idaho. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on your show, and good morning.
So you've heard from Secretary Jay Johnson of Homeland Security. You got to do right by the children, he said. That's got to be a bottom line ideal here for the United States government. Is that how you?
I do not. You know, as I was listening to Secretary Johnson's interview, the first half of his interview, I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan and at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up on Meet the Press.
What is it that
it's,
he
it's
made up?
It's really shameful.
Boy, don't you love that? It's another lie perpetrated by the administration on Meet the Press. You'll never hear John Boehner say that.
He made up a lot of different things. If you look at what he said that the number one reason these children are coming to the United States is because of the violence in these Central American countries. The reality is that the violence has existed in these Central American countries for a long period of time. The level of poverty has existed in these Central American countries for a long period of time. But it's over the last 2 years that you have seen an increase in the number of children coming to the United States. He's saying that he's going to be able to stem it, and it's not going to reach 90,000 between 60 and 90,000 children. That's not going to happen. Their own administration of estimates are that it's going to be about 60,000 to 90,000 this year, that it's going to increase to 150 to 200,000 next year. These are their own estimates. And now they come on national TV and they say that they're doing everything they can to stem the flow, but that their number one priority is actually to make sure that we do right by these children.
Right. People are talking about do right by the children, but the children have been smart. How many of you have watched Law and Order? Have you watched Law and Order? Now, remember when we had Joe Filicetti on and he told us how to lawyer up if we ever get in trouble? So what do they tell you in Law and Order? Oh, well, you can talk to us or you get a lawyer. We're going to arrest you. Well, then you lawyer up. Well, these kids that can't even speak English have little cards that are designed to make the Dream Act. Maybe it's not the Dream Act. It's whatever Rudy Pooty Mamby Pamby Immigration Act is supposed to kick in. It's, well, that's what it's designed to do. So technically, legally, we can't give these kids the boot, according to Fox News's Britt Hume, who disagrees with Congressman Labrador on this issue. And here's the issue. Do we follow the law or do we save America?
Of illegal immigrant children pouring across the border. Many people don't know what the law is, and others pretend they don't.
Republican Congressman Raul Labrador of Idaho said on Sunday TV that the Obama administration should deport these children immediately. Later in the interview, he conceded that the law does not permit that. The law in question is called the William Wilberforce Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act of 2008. It was passed by Congress unanimously and signed by President Bush. It requires that immigrant minors apprehended at the border may only be deported immediately if they are from Mexico or Canada. The rest must be turned over within 3 days to the Department of Health and Human Services to await deportation hearings. In the meantime, the law says, quote, they shall be placed in the least restrictive setting that is in the best interest of the child.
Oh, thank you, Britt Hume, for telling us about the law. By the way, you're listening to Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Now, I love the lecture from Britt Hume about the law. Well, what about the border laws? What about the immigration laws? What about the gang laws? What about the criminal laws? What about all the laws that are being broken? What about the idea that you have to have a job to get health care? What about the fact that, you should have a job if your kids are in school if you're not here legally? What about national sovereignty there, Britt?
Estimated 50,000 such children having come here from Central America this year. You can imagine how much trouble HHS is having housing them, not to mention how long it will take for courts to process their cases. Even then, there are a range of legal possibilities that could keep them in this country indefinitely.
Man, is there any good news on this?
Railing against human traffickers for spreading the rumor that such immigrant kids can easily get into this country. But it's not really a rumor. It's the law.
Yeah, great job with the law there. But I'll tell you, regardless of what you think of Congressman Labrador, and we have our own issues with him. Bravo for him for saying the politically incorrect thing. Do we have that again? That's right. I swore that I would not be a supporter of Congressman Labrador anymore, and I'm not. But we have to be fair. When somebody does a good job, regardless of whether they agree to come on this program or not, I think it's only fair that we recognize this. So here we have Smarky Swarmy David Gregory.
I'm joined by Republican Congressman Raul Labrador of Idaho. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on your show, and good morning.
You know, Raul doesn't sound happy on that. He does not sound happy to be on with David Gregory. Can you imagine that? It's Sunday. Meet the Press airs here at 8, so I believe probably the taping is at 6 or something, maybe even 7. So you have to get up early. Who wants to get up early on a Sunday when you're home to all of a sudden get the gotcha questions from gotcha David Gregory? Gotcha, David.
So you've heard from Secretary Jay Johnson of Homeland Security. You got to do right by the children, he said.
Got to do by right. Isn't that a store? By right?
That's got to be a bottom line ideal here for the United States government. Is that how you...
I do not. You know, as I was listening to Secretary Johnson's interview, the first half of his interview, I kept thinking that you just need to change your slogan at the beginning of your show. Instead of if it's Sunday, it's Meet the Press, if it's Sunday, it's another administration official making stuff up on Meet the Press.
Ray, I think even that has to, and I hate to say this, I think that has to make the intro. If it's Sunday, it's not Meet the Press. If it's Sunday, it's another administration official making things up. I got to tell you, I'm a proponent of this program, but I got to give him his due on that. And it's so much so that Britt Hume goes on Sunday television. Britt, as weak as Meet the Press is, it's still much more watch, unfortunately, than your show when you appear on Fox News Sunday. Now, Britt Hume's talking about it's the law and everything else. Now, could we be seeing another Bundy administration? I'm sorry, another Bundy confrontation. When we're talking about what's going to happen on the border. Now you have people in Murrieta, the California town, Alan Long, the mayor there, saying that they've stopped another busload. Now it looks like the feds are going to be called in.
If we don't fix the problem in Washington, D.C., this will just continue to happen over and over again. And when it's not in Murrieta, it'll be somewhere else.
And it could be in Boise.
Everyone wants a fair, efficient and legal process for these immigrants to come in. You can't just send them all over the country without proper health care, without proper screening.
Got a point there. You don't want people with diseases in your neighborhood, do you? I hate to be sticking up for the American folks. I hate to be sticking up for you. Well, actually, I don't hate it. I love it. It's what I'm here for. But if they're not, what, Ellis Island, that people were quarantined. If you have the mumps, the measles, and all these diseases, you shouldn't be running wild on the streets of America.
I do not have the exact cost up to date. What we did establish on the first night that we started the planning process is we did identify the need for a funding code so we can track every single hour that is spent on this. Now, at the end of this, do I have a plan to send Washington, D.C. a big fat bill? You bet. Do I have any faith? Do I have any faith that would be paid? No.
There we have it. Your thoughts on the border situation. Ship them or deliver them? Do we send them home even though it's against the law? Hey, how many times have we heard the American people? Well, let me hold on. I get excited and I start talking fast, and that's not a good experience for you.
The American people want real life immigration reform, everybody. I'm serious this time. We really mean it. We're going to let everybody that has come in here, broken the law, stolen things, we're going to reward them. Never mind the people that have gone through the Byzantium horrific, condescending legal immigration system. Never mind them. We're going to put the illegals at the front of the line because we're pandering for their votes, both Republicans and Democrats. Then, since we've lied to you again and again and again, I don't know where this voice is. It's a lot easier to do this voice than Alex Jones, okay? Then we're going to secure the border. Okay. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's abroad, whether it's at your church. When someone lies to you, do you ever really accept what they say is the truth? I mean, really? Okay, this time I'm not going to lie to you. It's the truth. I really mean it. It's kind of like someone who cheats on you. I promise to be faithful. Okay, you promise to be faithful this time or last time? I really mean it this time. I'm not going to cheat on you. Well, we'll see. Let's go to John and Wilder at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, thanks for doing a great job.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah, I'm here every morning. But I heard a couple of numbers bouncing around that kind of startled me. One of them was from the New York Times that said that there have been over 300,000 illegal immigrants in our country since April of this year. That was from the New York Times, reportedly. And to put that in perspective, when the Allied forces landed at Normandy on D-Day, there were only 150,000 Allied troops. So while people are referring this to the current situation on the border as a crisis, is it really a crisis or is this an invasion? And if it's an invasion, then do the immigration laws really apply?
Well, John, you bring up a good point, and I like how Britt Hume goes, it's the law. Well,
yeah.
So is getting a warrant before they go through your computer. The government isn't following the laws, are they?
Selectively. If it suits their needs, they'll follow the law. If they don't, if it don't suit their needs, they totally ignore it.
And we sit idly by as we're invaded again and again and again.
Well, I tell you the truth. I was listening to the radio last night to one of your competitors, and this invasion we have at the border, and he wanted to talk about medical marijuana. And give me a break. You know?
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you stray from the family.
Touché, you got me. But, no, I'm a talk show junkie, you know. And
there's nothing better, brother.
I love your program, and I love the opportunity, or the fact that people can get on there and tell you what they're thinking. And but I just I think this whole thing, calling this a crisis, is misleading and a disservice to the public. At this point, we're talking an invasion, and even the numbers that from a soundbite you just played, not only for this year, but then the projected increase for next year, this has gone beyond a crisis. This is a full-blown invasion.
John, great point. I got to run. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. Keep up the good work.
God bless. Our friend John and Wilder, see, you don't stray. Just never stray, and you'll always get the best talk radio, the best talk right here at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, quickly before traffic, Eric in Florida writes, you sound like a Sesame Street character. Eric, I am a Sesame Street character. Quickly to traffic at 580 KIDO. Thank you, Larry. Coming up, is it time to legalize pot in Idaho?
Washington's doing it. Why not Idaho?
We'll tell you why not Idaho next. Serving Emmett.